You are listening to the Just One Small Thing podcast, episode number one. Hey there, welcome to the very first episode of the Just One Small Thing podcast. I'm Nancy, I'm your host, and I am so excited that you have joined me today. I have a fabulous guest on today who happens to be a great friend of mine. She's not only a great friend, but she's also a writer that has been inspiring me for a long time. You probably know her from her blog, themotheringspirit.com, or like me, you're a fan of her wonderful book on parenting called Everyday Sacrament, The Messy Grace of Parenting. Laura Fanucci is here to challenge you, whether you are a mother, a wife, a daughter, or even just a woman, which you probably are if you're listening to this podcast. She's got so much to share, and I'm so excited, so let's jump right in. Laura, welcome to the show. I'm so glad that you are here.
Thanks so much for having me, Nancy. I'm delighted to be here.
So Laura, I promised them one small thing that they can learn from you. So tell us, what is your one small thing?
Well, I would say my one small thing is that it's vulnerability that lets us connect most deeply with each other. And this was the really surprising part for me, that helps us come to know more about God.
Oh, no, Laura, no, not vulnerability. Ugh.
I know. It seems scary at first, but yeah, I really believe now that vulnerability is such a huge part of our faith and just how we are in the world together. I think it's one of, the best kept secrets when you stumble upon it.
So, Laura, how would you say that you came to learn this lesson that you're sharing with us?
When I was thinking about this idea of vulnerability, I was thinking back to, like being in high school and college and maybe what I thought my life would be like right now. And I think that I got the message somehow, that like being a mature adult meant being really independent, and having it all together and being really strong and certain about things and like not seeming weak, that you would just really be this strong person. Like that's what it meant to be an adult. So I kind of laugh when I think back, to being a younger woman and what I pictured my life would be like, or like what I would know by this point.
Okay, before we go on, give us a little bit of background on who you are.
So I'm a cradle Catholic. So like Catholic school, Catholic family, Catholic high school, whole thing, so being Catholic was just something that was really, I just kind of assumed it was part of my life, I went to Notre Dame, which is where I met my husband. So I majored in French and art history. What? No, I was going to be a professor. I was going to know all these things. So I went to Notre Dame thinking that I was going to be a professor and go teach. And along the way, I started to get more into, campus ministry and all these service projects. And I really started thinking, wow, this theology stuff is really interesting. Like, I don't know anything about it, but I kind of wish. I was laughing by the time I was a senior. I kept telling everybody that what I really wanted to do next was go back to freshman year and start over and be a theology major, which my parents were really happy to hear. That was just, there's been lots of surprises along the way, right? I mean, as there are for many of us.
Okay, so at this point, you already knew your husband, right?
We met in college, and then I actually went and did a year of service with the Sisters of the Assumption in France, because I thought, I got to do something with this French major. I got to do this. So it was a really transformative year, and oddly enough, I hadn't thought about that when I was thinking about this podcast, but I learned a lot about vulnerability that year, because it's really hard to be in another culture and you think you know the language, but like you get a lot of it's really vulnerable, to live somewhere where you're not 100% sure what's going on all the time. Like you could speak, but there's things that happen that you don't understand. So it was a real like being vulnerable, putting myself out there, you know, doing service with people that were really in tough situations. So I came back from that year and just thought, wow, I think I really want to do something with theology or ministry. And I ended up, I had a job for a couple of years in a different area, but then I ended up going back to graduate school for theology, kind of as a result of all those wheels turning that I never expected. So
you came back from France, and then help me out. When did you get married?
Oh, we got married. Let's see. So we started dating at the end of senior year, and then I was abroad for a year. Then I came back, and we got engaged in the next year, and then we were married in 2006, so not long after that. So, yeah.
So, for me, a big part of vulnerability is marriage. I happen to be a pretty guarded person, and I wish I was more open. I happen to be married to a man that is a great conversationalist. You know, sometimes I wish he would shut up, but he doesn't. But it's great. I always know exactly what's going on with him. His life is a complete open book. I really struggle with that, though. For some reason, I don't know. It's hard for me to be completely known. I continue to struggle with it. It's gotten a lot better, but it is something that is hard for me. So I was just wondering, like, how does vulnerability factor into marriage?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would say, you know, oddly enough, I'm kind of an open book too, sort of how you were describing your husband. Yeah, and yet it still took me a long time to learn that, you know, even though maybe I felt free to talk about, like, how I was feeling or what I was experiencing, like, that wasn't always the same thing as vulnerability. Like, vulnerability also meant, you know, putting myself out there in a way where I could connect with other people really deeply, where I could end up being hurt, you know? And I think maybe when I think about what role my marriage played in that, it was always kind of like the safest place for me to land, you know, after a time when I had been really vulnerable, if that makes sense. Like, that here was this person that had promised to love me unconditionally. So even if I was worried about, you know, how did I appear in this situation? Or, like, was this too much? Was this too risky what I was doing? Like, I always knew this was kind of the safe harbor this our marriage was. So I think, I mean, really how I learned the most about vulnerability was actually through writing. After I'd gone to grad school, I was actually pregnant with our first child when I graduated, and I started this blog after he was born because I kind of always liked to journal, and I thought, I don't know, this whole transition to motherhood thing is really big and really hard, and I'm just kind of struggling to make sense of all of this. Like, I went to grad school, learned all these things, and now what? Like, I'm at home with this newborn, and this is just, I don't know, where am I finding God in all this? Like, where is this all leading me? And so I started writing about all these questions that I had about faith or God or what it meant to be a mom and all those challenges and joys that came along with it. And I started realizing that when I let myself be vulnerable in my writing, more people connected with it. Like, I didn't have to have some brilliant idea, but sometimes if I could just be really honest and say, I was struggling with this. And other people would say, you know, readers would write to me and say that I didn't have the same struggle, but what you said, like, it helped me to understand this other thing I've been struggling with. And I started to see in these small ways that it was the times when I let myself, you know, I could let my guard down and show a little bit that I didn't have it all together. I didn't know where I was going next. I was, you know, maybe I had doubts or frustrations or things that I wondered, is this even safe to say to someone else? Or are they going to think I'm not a good Catholic or I don't really believe this or that? But I started to see how the impact that it had on other people to be vulnerable in writing like that. So So I think that was where I first started to learn it.
So my question here is, how would you define authentic vulnerability? Because I feel like there is kind of a lot of frauds out there when it comes to vulnerability.
Yes, I would say that's really important because I think there's a distinction between being vulnerable and just like bearing your soul to every stranger you meet and oversharing on the internet. Like TMI does not necessarily equal vulnerability. But I think vulnerability has to do with, I think it has to do with honesty and courage and sometimes being willing to show your struggles in a way that invites other people to be there with you. So it's not just saying like, oh, woe is me, and let me just complain and tell you all these awful oversharing things about my life or my marriage or terrible things that are happening. But it's saying, you know what? This is a really hard place where I am, but my hunch is I'm not alone in that. And so I'm going to share a piece of that with you really honestly and see what part of your story it connects with. So I think it's this combination of like honesty and courage and being willing to share what's imperfect without having to put up, you know, this front that I've got to be this independent, have it all together woman. But that really, like, so much of grace is found in the really broken places in our lives. So sometimes connecting there can be the most powerful connections we can make with each other. It's sort of the difference between sympathy and empathy too. Like sympathy, you're kind of looking at someone else's struggle and you're saying, oh, I feel really sorry for you. That seems awful. And sometimes that's the reaction that we want when we're venting and we're like telling our girlfriends that we're having a really bad day. Like we do just need a sympathetic voice. But I think empathy is really tied to vulnerability because when we're vulnerable with each other, then we can build this empathy, which is more of like a compassion. It's like feeling with someone and saying, you know, even if I haven't gone through that, like the way that you're sharing about that so honestly, that kind of connects with this other struggle I've had. And I think we can meet in a deeper place with empathy and with vulnerability than we can with just like being voyeuristic about each other's like, oh, my life is just awful right now. My kids are sick. My kitchen's a mess. It's like, but let's go deeper and say, what are the real challenges or the burdens that we're each carrying in our hearts? And how could we maybe have a stronger connection or a stronger sense of community if we could be real about those deepest struggles? And that's why I think we find, at least I have found so much of God in vulnerability because, again, I think like sometimes we think about God being all powerful, like almighty, and forgetting this really vulnerable side of God. Like you think about what it meant for God to be born as a baby, like a poor baby born in a dirty stable. There's just nothing more vulnerable than that. But that God was willing to do that out of love. And if you think about being willing to die for us, like Christ's passion, I mean, he was just beaten and tortured and killed. And you think he made himself totally vulnerable for us. And if we picture what an all-powerful God would be like, that's about the opposite extreme. So I just think looking to how much of God is actually about vulnerability reminds me that it's so closely tied to love. It's a compassion. It just kind of blows my mind.
Wow. What you're sharing here is just so beautiful, that God is vulnerable and that vulnerability is a way that we come to know what love really is. You know, it's got me really, it reminded me of a beautiful study that I'm doing right now. I'm right in the middle of the consecration, the 33 days of merciful love, which is, it's kind of like a retreat written by Michael Gately. It's beautiful. And it's all about doing the same consecration that St. Therese did, you know, consecrating ourselves to merciful love. And the idea is that that you open yourself up and you agree to accept the graces that Jesus has tried to bestow on others, the love and mercy he's tried to bestow on others, but that people have rejected, you know, and that he's actually hurt when, you know, and I know there's plenty of love and mercy he's directed towards me that I have rejected. So just the idea that God is there pouring love and mercy out on us, and that when we do reject it, either all or in part, that's painful for him, and that he's open in this way.
Yeah, I think so much about the Sacred Heart with that. Like, I keep thinking of those, you know, when you see images of the Sacred Heart, and Christ is just pointing to his heart, and it's pierced, and it's like, it's uncovered, you know, and it's just, I just think he's pointing right to what you're saying. Like, he's trying to tell us, this is who I am. Like, I'm totally bared. My heart is just bared open for you. And I know that because you're human and sinful, like, you're going to pierce my heart too, but I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to hide that from you. I'm never going to shield myself from you. And I just think, wow, I just see the Sacred Heart so differently now when I think about vulnerability. And I don't think I ever understood the devotion to the Sacred Heart before, you know, especially all the writing that I've done through grief. Like, I think that just showed me, wow, there really is this vulnerability and this brokenheartedness at the heart of God's love for us that is just amazing and so beautiful. Well, like I said, I had been, you know, writing about this in terms of like motherhood and faith and how we make sense of the hard parts of the calling to be a mother. And, you know, in the past year, my husband and I had twin girls who were born prematurely, and they had a complication of identical twins where their blood was really imbalanced between each of them. And so they had to be born prematurely, and they only lived 1 and 2 days. And so the really awful and so difficult journey of, you know, losing our daughters and learning what grief was in such an intense way and thinking about what it means to lose a child, all of that totally transformed what I thought about vulnerability because, you know, I was already a writer by then. I had this blog and I'd written some books. So when all of this was happening, like, my instinct was just to keep writing about it. I didn't know how to go through that journey without sharing with other people really honestly, you know, how hard it was and how we really needed people's prayers and support to get through it. And so I found as I kept letting myself be vulnerable about it, I kept finding that people would connect with the things I was saying, the things that I thought maybe nobody else understood, you know, because you're going through something so hard, you think, this is crazy. I don't know anybody else who's done this. But I would find that even what was really interesting was not only did that vulnerability connect with, you know, say other parents who had lost a baby, but people would say, you know, what you're saying about grief, it's really helped me to make sense of how hard I've been grieving my grandma, or like how hard it was for me when my mom died, or, you know, something else in my life that is just a totally even unrelated to grief or death. But to say what you're able to share about, you know, your struggles and still wanting to find God in these hard places, it's really helping me to see this area of my life differently. And I thought that just blew me away because I felt like, I don't know, I just sort of thought, I'm going to put this out there because this is the really honest truth in my life right now. And this is where I feel like God is just calling me to be courageous and be vulnerable. And that through that, other people, like that it resonated with other people, it still just blows my mind. And I think that was the moment when I started to realize these ties between God and vulnerability and community, you know, and compassion, because I do think, like I said, that when we're vulnerable and we say, this is so hard right now, I don't know what to do with how hard this part of my life is, that other people say, you know what, I'm here too in a different way, I'm here too. And I think those really powerful connections just reveal so much of God at work in our lives, because it's about love. It's about supporting each other and not feeling isolated in our struggles, you know. But it did come from my being willing to say, you know, I'm going to share with you that this is hard. I don't even know how to finish this blog post and like tie a neat little bow at the end. I don't know how to end this because this is a real struggle. But that people could connect to it really changed my mind about vulnerability.
So first of all, thank you for writing all those things. I mean, it was so powerful. Even just as a humble blog reader, it was so powerful to read all of those stories. But my question is, I mean, some of them were really raw. So my question is, what does it feel like to hit publish on one of those posts that are just like super vulnerable? What does that feel like?
I'll tell you, sometimes I had to sit on those for a long time. There were some that I would write and I would just say, okay, God, I'm just sharing this. I just have to do this right now. And I would just push publish and I would walk away and just think, you know, even if one other person connects with what I just wrote, then that was worth it. Then the vulnerability was worth it. But there were times when I would share something and I would think, or I would write it, and before I could push publish, I would just think, I don't know, God, I don't know if I should share this. Maybe this is too much, or maybe I should just sit on this and not, maybe I should just stop being so vulnerable on the internet. Like, what am I doing? And there were a few posts that I almost never shared. I kind of would sit on them for like a week or two, and then I would just think, maybe I should just never share that. And sometimes just almost on an impulse, I would think, nah, I'm going to do it. I wrote that, and I'm just going to say it. And amazingly, those would be the ones where people would say, I'm so glad you wrote this. Like, you put into words something that I've never been able to voice in my own life. And I'd think, well, that's crazy, because I almost didn't share it this morning because I just thought people would, I got scared and I thought it was too much and it's putting myself out there. So I think I've learned to trust that, like, if the Holy Spirit really puts something on my heart and I keep coming back to it, that sometimes I just have to take a deep breath and push publish. You know, sometimes it's like in a friendship too. I mean, it can be really hard to take a risk and share really deeply from your heart with, you know, either in a friendship or in a marriage. Sometimes we have these thoughts or feelings and we just think, how is this going to be received if I really say what I honestly feel or believe? Like, will people laugh at me or be angry, or what will be the response? And I think over time I've learned to trust that the more, like, I feel that nagging, like, whatever it is that I'm wrestling with, that question just keeps coming up, or I just can't stop thinking about a certain thing. I really think that's how the Holy Spirit works sometimes, that kind of restlessness or nagging that just won't give up. And so sometimes I learn, okay, I'm just going to trust that this is for a greater purpose than my own worry, and I'm going to take the risk to be vulnerable. And honestly, I can't think of a time that I did that and actually shared what I had written that I regretted it. You know, sometimes you do have to, like I said, it's not just about like burying everything that's on your mind, like saying it all. But I think when you really have taken it to prayer and reflected on it to the point where you're ready to be vulnerable about it, I think trusting that God will be there with you in that vulnerability is really essential. Because I just think he doesn't let us down like that.
Where I struggle with vulnerability the most is in the moment. You know, and I've never faced something like losing a child, and God willing, I never will. But, you know, in the few hard things that I have gone through, like, for example, my beloved grandmother died in December. And although that she was over 90. She'd been on hospice for over a year. You know, she was ready to go. It was good that she went, but you know, I wasn't there when she actually passed, but I did have a period of time with her right before she did, you know, when we knew she was going to die. And I had a couple of moments when I was alone with her, holding her hand, and, you know, we were kind of thinking that she could go at any time, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I could be here alone with her when she dies. And it scared the crap out of me, honestly. And I found myself trying to distract myself from the moment, you know, like, I mean, it was all I could do to not check Instagram, which is so embarrassing. But, you know, like, how do you stay in the moment? How do you, in that moment, open yourself up to really embrace what it means to be vulnerable?
Well, I think, yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. And I think it starts with being able to be vulnerable with God. You know, I remember those moments in the hospital, even when we were holding our daughters and they were dying. I mean, there's just no way to get around the truth of that. And I remember in that moment or in that time of being with them in such an awful place that you never would want to be or think you will be as a parent. I remember just having this sense that I could bring all of that to God, like that God was just so fully around us in that space that I could have said anything or been angry or sorrowful or questioning or just any emotion. Like I just had such a sense that, you know, in those moments of life and death, when so much is stripped away, like of the false pretenses or like, you know, the way we just think our life normally goes, that I realized, you know, I could be totally vulnerable with God because God was just so totally present to me. And I think having a sense that even in those hardest moments, when part of me would want to get angry and say, like, God, have you totally abandoned us? I cannot believe you're letting these babies die. Like, this is not right. Like, you've got to save them. This is not how this should be. I think that my willingness to just know that even in the hardest moments, God was not absent, that somehow God was with us and God was as brokenhearted as we were, like all of that gave me the strength, I think, to not turn totally inward and just say, I'm bitter, I'm angry, I can't believe this happened to my life, and I'm just going to close everybody else off because this happened. I mean, I can see why when someone has a terrible tragedy in their life, I can totally see why they would have a reaction like that, why they would just go inward, never want to be vulnerable again. It's so scary. It's awful. And you are angry and just distraught. But I think I realized that because God was with us, I had this choice to either, you know, let my own sorrow and anger and fear rule my life from then on, or I could keep trying to take like one step beyond all of that. And I feel like taking that one step would get me to the place where I could say, okay, I can share about this with people. Like I can be vulnerable because I know as I do that, I learn more about God from the connections that I see with other people. I think that the whole experience of losing our daughters and going on to think about what our life looks like now beyond grief, I think all of that has taught me, yeah, God is like, God loves us so much and is always present to us and wants to be involved in our lives. And I think, yeah, sometimes stepping back and letting, whether it's vulnerability or just a willingness to make those deeper connections with other people, letting that be where we put our energy shows us more of that truth that God is really there.
So one of the times that I've really had to confront whether I was going to be vulnerable or not was making the decision to try for pregnancy again after a miscarriage. And I know we both have been through miscarriages. And in case you don't know, everyone that's listening, Laura, even after, you know, the horrible losses they experienced last winter, is expecting again and due in July. So she is living and walking this walk right now. So I, you know, miscarriage, and I'm sure a lot of the women listening to this can totally relate, the miscarriage is just such a mind game. You know, you carry this baby inside of you, and then all of a sudden it's gone, and you're not sure why. You know, most of us have no idea why, and we just feel like we couldn't hold on to this baby. And it's just, you know, it's painful and it's confusing. And then to get pregnant again, you know, you all of a sudden have all these worries that you never even considered before. So you're doing this right now, Laura. So has this pregnancy been yet another lesson in vulnerability for you?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, how many times I've thought, what are we doing? Like, you know, we really had a sense that God was calling us, you know, to stay open to life and to be willing to open our lives to another baby eventually. But I still, I mean, you know, here I am a couple more months to go, and I still every day struggle with this. I remember thinking really strongly after our twins died that the one sure way I could keep myself from the pain of ever losing a baby again, either to miscarriage or to infant loss, would be to never get pregnant again. Like, if I can't keep my kids in a bubble once they're here. I can't guarantee that nothing will happen to them. But I realize, okay, the one sure way I can know I'll never lose another baby is to never get pregnant again. And I knew that that was, even though that would protect me from the pain, it was not the right choice for me. It was not what God was calling me to, because for me, and again, people make different, very different, you know, decisions after those kinds of losses. For us, we just knew that it would have been a decision based out of fear to not ever say yes to another baby again. That I didn't want my life to be defined by fear or by the possibility of something bad happening. Because I just look at my kids and I think, wow, if I hadn't let myself be vulnerable, you know, to being willing to say yes and surrender and be open to life, and then they wouldn't be here. And they're such phenomenal, cool little humans that I'm so glad that God has given them to us. That, yeah, so this whole pregnancy, I think, has just been trying to trust that being willing to open ourselves up, which is being vulnerable, is going to be worth it again. That God, like, again, that God is really close to us in those times when we're most vulnerable. And I just don't think, I know that no matter what happens, he'll be there.
All right, Laura, so bring it home for us here. What would you say are your tips or advice, you know, for people like me, that where vulnerability does not come naturally, and also in a world that's saturated by it with kind of false vulnerability? So what are your tips and tricks, or not tips and tricks, your advice for people that want to embrace authentic vulnerability?
Well, I think, I mean, any time that we open ourselves up to love anybody, we're so vulnerable, you know, like marriage is so vulnerable. I mean, I've totally committed myself and invested myself with the love of another person. And like every day I've got to trust that he's making that same total gift of himself. You know, that's so scary when you think about it. You just think, oh my gosh, I want to be a hermit and just stay in my cell and not love anybody. Well, I think just letting yourself be honest and vulnerable with those closest to you, like that's what's most transformative. It's not about, you know, yeah, having some message that's going to reach all these people. Like that's not what God calls all of us to. I mean, God is calling us to love our neighbor, right? I mean, and to love our families and our spouses. And so I think what's most transformative is to be vulnerable with those closest to us, you know? And I think starting small by trying to be more, even more honest with God in our prayer lives, you know, by going to confession and being willing to face up to the places where we're really falling short and just saying, God, you know, I need your help. I need your grace to make it through this, to change my habits. So I think, you know, starting with our prayer life and then thinking about, you know, kind of like those people closest to us, whether it's a spouse or roommates or really good friends, like, to try in small ways to share more from your heart and to say, you know, rather than just like brooding over this question on my own or like thinking I have to figure this out, to be willing to share that with someone close to you and just say, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where God's calling me in this. I think, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean the other person can fix it. I don't think it's about fixing what's broken, but I think that being willing to trust someone with something that's really on your heart is a sign of love to them. And, you know, it, you put yourself out there in the hopes that they'll share something, you know, of themselves back with you. So I think, you know, letting your heart be vulnerable in those ways. And I think, you know, sometimes even something as small as like when a friend asks you, hey, how are you? Rather than, you know, we always just respond, I'm good, I'm great. You know, sometimes it's okay in the right situations to say, you know, I'm not actually great right now. Like, and to really share something that's on your heart, because sometimes we just go into this default mode, like we've got to make our lives look really good. You know, we want other people to think we have it together or that we're living out this beautiful life and testimony to our faith. We don't want people to think that we're struggling. But I think sometimes when I've been willing to be vulnerable with a good friend and then she's able to share something in her life that I would have no idea was going on if we hadn't kind of started down that road of being a little more vulnerable with each other, I just think, wow, that has deepened our friendship or our connection in a way that's really beautiful. And I really think that's what God wants for us, is that closeness we have with each other. So I think it really can start small in those ways.
Well, holy cow, Laura, this was fun. And really, you give me so much to think about and, you know, really challenged me to really, really re-understand vulnerability, especially when it comes to understanding God. So, oh my goodness. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for being my friend that helps me out with my very first podcast here. This was beautiful and I feel honored. So thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, you are so welcome. I loved it.
Once again, I want to thank Laura Fanucci for taking the time to come and talk with us today and share her one small thing with us, that vulnerability is the way to not only understand God's love for us, but also our way to make authentic connections with people around us. Make sure to check out the show notes. I'll have links to Laura's blog, themotheringspirit.com, as well as many of her wonderful published books, which are totally worth a read and can be transformative, as they have been for me. If you have a moment, I'd love for you to stop by the blog and leave a comment. Do Small Things with Love. That's my blog. That's where you'll find me. But until you do, or until I see you again, please rest assured, sisters, that you have a companion in the daily struggle to do small things with great love.